Now today, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to, get your phone out if you have self-control and can take notes on your phone with flight mode on so you're not looking at Insta or Facebook or your bank balance or your emails. Yes, we are talking about spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. So this message came out of a conversation Ali and I had when we started getting mad with the devil and other things. Spiritual authority. I'm talking about who we are as Christians and what we have. Father, I pray you'd anoint your word, and I pray it would be your words, not mine. And I pray you would shift our mindsets and our spirit to align with yours. Show us who we are and what we have in you. Show us the authority you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So it came out of a conversation Ellie and I were having about getting sick of Christians having a victim mentality. Too many Christians put up with too much. And so often we can run around as believers scared of the devil, living reactively rather than proactively. So let's get into the word this morning. Matthew 7, verse 29 in the first half, it said he, meaning Jesus, taught as one who had authority. So when Jesus spoke, people noticed, wow, this guy's got authority. Now, what is that word? This word authority is mentioned several times in the New Testament. It can also be translated power. The Greek word, and I don't know if I'm saying it properly, I'll have a go, exousia, which means the right to have and exercise authority. It's delegated authority. It's the official right or power. So today we live and function in the delegated authority of Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we have the liberty to exercise the full power of attorney in all of God's interests here on earth. We are his representatives, and we have complete authority to act in God's stead as if God were here doing the work, which he actually is by the Holy Spirit inside each of us. He lives in us and works through us. Now, we have been given his authority for a reason, to do a job, to represent him, to bring the kingdom, the rulership of God from heaven to earth into the lives of those who are in darkness. So when you walk into work tomorrow morning, Jesus Christ just walked into work. When you walk into your class or your office tomorrow morning, Monday, Jesus Christ just walked into your classroom or your office, because we are his ambassadors, his representatives. Now, here's the Great Commission, Matthew 28, don't we love this one, verse 18. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So before he even tells them to go, he's talking about his position. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. How much authority? All. Amen. Not some, not a little bit, all authority. Jesus has rightfully been given authority by his dad, Father God. Jesus did not usurp it. He did not steal it. He was given it. It was bestowed upon him. It is legally his. He is entitled to it. Jesus Christ has more authority and power than the president of the USA, more than all the governments and armies in the world combined. And the good news is, you're his son. You're his daughter. You're his boy. You're his girl. That makes you a prince. That makes you a princess. You are in the ultimate royal family. And there's no paparazzi, hallelujah. The Lord owns the universe. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Your dad is loaded. That's good news today. I'm here to tell you, your dad is the boss. Tell the person next to you, my dad's the boss. Oh yeah. So we don't need to worry about money and food and clothes in the future, because he's going to look after us. Because we're his kids. We were adopted into his family and we're called his own when we were born again. We've got to know who we are and what we have in Jesus. Now, back to this Great Commission. Let's note, Jesus has all authority where? In heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, he said. So in heaven, he's got all authority in the spiritual realm, and also on earth, all authority in the natural realm. We're talking about he's got all authority in things we can't see and in things we can see, which pretty much covers everything. Now, we were slaves to sin. We were owned by Satan. And Jesus came in and paid the highest price for us. On the cross at Calvary, he gave his life. He shed his blood. A divine exchange took place. This was always God's plan. The coming of the Savior was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. So the cross was not a tragedy. It was a triumph. And it is God's remedy for the problem of sin that separates us from him. So in this great exchange, it took place. All our sin and evil and the consequences of that, sickness, pain and grief, all of that came onto Jesus. And all of Jesus' goodness and righteousness came on us. So all our bad went on him and all his good came on us. Yeah! So now we can be reconciled to God because of what he did on the cross. And he paid for it with his blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, it says in Hebrews 9, verse 22. And we've got to remember, we're not our own. We were bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, and that's the blood of Christ. So now, good news. Jesus has broken Satan's power. And now Satan must submit to Jesus. So also, Satan's followers, his army, demons, must submit to God's army. Who's in God's army? You and I are. I'm in the Lord's army. Remember that? I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. All the old people said, yeah, I remember that. I'm in that category. I remember that. Not only does Jesus have authority, he has also given it to us. That's good news. Write this down. Luke 10, 19. I have given you authority over all the enemy's power. You will walk in snakes and scorpions. You will crush them under your feet, and nothing shall in any way do you harm. So that means you're going to walk on snakes and scorpions. To tread upon, to walk upon, means to have absolute mastery over. And serpents and scorpions are a symbol of demonic power. This whole passage here in Luke 10 is dealing with Satan and demonic powers. So Christians are to have and exercise power over all the power of the devil. Satan is a defeated foe. God's power operates through us as we do his will. And it is not just a defensive power. It is an offensive power, proactive power, because we're going to walk and step on snakes and scorpions. We will crush the works of the devil. Now, what are the works of the devil? Sickness, disease, addiction, slavery, bondage, oppression, violence, lies, debt, poverty, all of that stuff. It's from the devil. Jesus has given us his authority, and that is why demons submit to us. Not because we're powerful in ourselves. We're not. We are nothing without him. We are powerful because he has delegated his power and authority to us. And some of you today have no idea how powerful you really are because you serve Jesus. You have all of heaven's power backing you. You are more powerful than you realize. Tell the person next to you, you have no idea how powerful I really am. Tell the person on the other side, they're feeling left out right now. Now, Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the enemy's power. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to 72 believers here who he had sent out. Jesus gave these normal, unlearned people power and authority to extend his kingdom. You, I have given you authority. So he's just talking to normal believers. So that's you and I as well. Are there any believers and followers of Jesus here today? Yeah. He's giving authority here to people. He's not only giving authority to people who are over 21 years old. He's not only giving authority to people who are been to Bible college. He's not only giving authority to people who are in leadership in church or who work full-time for church. It's for all believers. He didn't pick the Pharisees. They were all learned in the scriptures. He just picked normal people. Because of Jesus' blood shed at the cross and his resurrection, Jesus defeated all enemies and won for himself all authority. And this is not only a historical event we're talking about here. It's today. He has all authority in heaven and on earth now, here in 2022. God's kingdom is alive and well today. In fact, it is expanding more rapidly than ever before all over the earth. And if you don't believe me, ask Sean. He's got some great stories to tell from his travels. So our problem is many of us do not realize the spiritual authority that we have. Sometimes we even doubt in our hearts that we have any spiritual authority at all. And we thought, well, I'm not a guest speaker. I'm not an evangelist. I'm just a nobody from Amokaroa. And deep inside, we may even believe the lie that Satan's power is stronger. And sometimes, even if we're in pain or we have an issue or a problem or we're addicted, we don't even go up the front for prayer for the ministry time because we really don't think it can be broken off us. And we actually can come to believe that Satan's power is stronger. And we're going to have to live with this thing, this sickness, this addiction, this problem for the rest of our lives. Oh, how we need a revelation of the spiritual authority that is ours. Satan's strategy looks like this. He whispers to us, you'll never get out of debt. I'm not demon possessed. That's just my pretend demon voice. I'm just putting it on. Just want you to know that, okay? You'll never get healed. You'll never be able to buy your own home. You'll never get married. You'll never get a job. And your husband will never get saved. And your kid will never come back to Jesus. And we believe his lies. Because we have no idea of who we really are and what we really have. And we attribute far more power and glory to Satan than he deserves. And we even buy into ideas about him that are not scriptural. Things like, oh, well, I better not take on any responsibility or leadership in God's kingdom because if I do, the devil will come after me. This idea takes root in our mind, and so we start to think, well, if I just sit down and shut up and keep my head down and mind my own business and don't take a stand for God, then the devil won't notice me and he won't come after me. I better not become a connect group leader because the devil will come after me. This is a lie Satan uses to try and immobilize us so we don't ever do anything for God. And he's trying to scare us into doing fat, diddly squats, zero, nothing for the kingdom. So let's get one thing straight here today. The devil already hates you. You're already his enemy because you're made in the image of God, because you're on God's side. Satan can see you're washed in the blood of Christ, and he hates that. And his whole mission, Satan's whole mission statement, it's on a plaque in the wall in hell. It says to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all his company is about. That's it. Kill, steal, destroy. There's nothing nice in there. It's not like he's going to be nice and kind to you if you don't bug him too much. He already hates you and he already wants to destroy your life. That's why he's our enemy. That's why we're not on his side. That's why we're at war with him. And there are too many Christians passively creeping around the place, trying to stay in Satan's good books so he won't get them. Newsflash, Satan doesn't have any good books. There's nothing good about him. So can we please forget this ridiculous idea of walking on eggshells, tiptoeing around, trying not to disturb the devil and hoping he won't notice you, because if he does, he'll get you. The truth today is, people, you don't need to be scared of the devil because he is actually scared of you. He is terrified. You are his worst nightmare. And when he looks at you, he sees Jesus with skin on. And when it's 7 a.m. and you're just starting to wake up, he begins right there freaking out. Oh no, he's waking up. And it's like you get up and rays of spiritual light are bursting out of you. And it's hurting his eyes. Ah! And he has to go and get his shades on right there because you're blinding him. Because you are a light man or a light girl. It's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's light man. That's you. And then when you bypass your phone and reach for your Bible, he's like, no, not the sword, not the sword. He fears the sword like nothing else. And then you get up and you've got your Bible and you begin to pray and you walk around. Sikaraka shidaraba, hallelujah, kia ora, Lord. It's going to be a great day today. And he's like, no, stop. He's getting a migraine. He knows it's going to be a bad day for him. Then you're on your way to work and you've got the worship cranked up in your car and you're driving to work and you're playing it loud and you're singing and praising God. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Oh yeah. And you're praising the Lord and he's like, ah, shut up. I can't stand it. And then you walk into your office, your class, and you start talking about Jesus and showing his love to people, and Satan knows right there it's over. He's lost a battle and it's only 8:30 a.m. Don't you know he can't get near you? Don't you know you're covered with the blood of Jesus? Don't you know you're clothed with the Holy Spirit's power? Don't you know you're wearing the armor of God? Don't you know the angel of the Lord encamps around you to deliver you? Don't you know that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world? You are like a Holy Ghost Terminator blasting the works of the devil. I'll be back. That's who you are. We've got to learn to tell the devil where to go. Do you know Martin Luther, that great reformer 500 years ago, he knew how to do that. The story goes that Satan turned up in his room one night as he was studying, and Luther looked over and said, oh, it's only you. Another time, one night, the devil was hassling him and Luther threw ink at him. Apparently it stained the wall of the castle and became a tourist attraction later. And one thing I'd never heard of before, Luther even used flatulence against the enemy. That's a new strategy, one we do not endorse here at C3 City Church. A new technique, we do not recommend it, at least not in our prayer meetings. Maybe you could try it when you get home, not here. Anyway, we've got to know how to tell the devil where to go. James 4, verse 7b, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Note, he will flee from you, not the other way around. There are too many Christians trying to flee from the devil. We've been watching too many horror movies. Here's a quote from Saint Bernard, not the dog, the actual real original guy. He said, infidels, which means unbelievers, infidels fear the devil as a lion, but those who are strong in the faith despise him as a very little worm. Who remembers Kenneth Hagin? I think he's still going. I don't know. Anyway, I remember Alan telling a story, so I looked it up and verified it's true. Once Kenneth Hagin was having an encounter with the Lord, and Jesus was talking to him, and then he could see this little wee demon come, like a little imp or an elf, jumping around between him and Jesus, and sort of suddenly he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying because this little demon was going, making all this noise. And Kenneth was getting annoyed because Jesus was saying important things and he wanted to hear it. And he's thinking, why doesn't Jesus tell the demon to shut up? But Jesus didn't. And this demon said, and in the end, Kenneth got so mad, he just said, shut up in Jesus' name. And the demon just fell to the ground and whimpered like a little pup that had been kicked or something and ran out and fled. And then Kenneth said, Lord, why didn't you deal with that demon? It was blocking. I couldn't hear you. And Jesus said, that's your job. That's your job. Not one time in the New Testament is the church ever told to pray to the Lord to do something about the devil. We, the believers, have to do something about the devil because the Lord has delegated that authority to us. Like in the Great Commission in Mark 16, it says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. That's the first thing those who believe in the Lord will do. Second one was, they will speak in new tongues. Hallelujah. Wigglesworth once was at a bus stop waiting for a bus with a few other people, and a lady came along and she wanted to wait for the bus, but her dog had followed her from her house and she was cajoling and politely trying to talk the dog into going home. Go on, go home, go home, boy, go home. And the dog was just he wasn't moving. He's just sitting there. And then finally she got frustrated. She had been timid, but finally she forgot the timidity and the politeness and she just stamped her foot and said, go home now! And the dog ran off with its tail between its legs. And Wigglesworth said very loudly for all to hear, that's how you gotta treat the devil! And it's true. Too many believers are trying to politely negotiate with Satan rather than telling him where to go, commanding him to get out in Jesus' name. Here's another verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 8b. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Note, whom he may devour. I have decided in my life that he may not. He may not. Satan needs your permission to touch you. Don't give it to him. Don't give the devil permission to touch you or anything that is yours, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren, your health, your finances, your home, your reputation, your business. You are not a victim. You have authority over all of Satan's power. We need to get a grip and realize who we are and what we have. Let's stop being passive and let's get active for God. Last scripture as the band comes, please. 1 John 3, go the band, it's Joe. 1 John 3, verse 8, B, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. When Jesus sent out these 72 believers in Luke, they were defeating Satan and his works. And we're going to defeat a few works of the devil in a few moments right here. These 72 believers did what Jesus did. They were preaching and healing the sick and casting out demons. Three things: preaching, healing the sick, casting out demons. But now here in the Western world, in the church, we've just sanitized it a bit. You know, we've tidied it up. We've dropped off the healing and casting out demons bit. We just like the preaching and teaching. Oh yes, we're into the knowledge thing here in the Western world. It comes from the original Greek mindset where our education system comes from. Knowledge is right up there. And if you don't believe me, try being a youth group leader around about now when it's exam time. How many Christian parents don't let their kids go to church or youth because, oh, we've got to pass our exams. That's more important. I beg to differ. Discipling our kids is the most important thing we'll ever do on this planet. What do we want them to do? Pass all their exams and drop into hell? What do we think? There's a brainy section in hell we can somehow attain to? No. Plus, they need a break for 2 hours on Sunday night and Friday night, so you can't study 24 hours a day. We are into the knowledge thing, but we've ignored and failed to emphasize a large part of what Jesus did, healing the sick, setting people free from demonic power. It's like we've ditched two-thirds of the ministry of Jesus. How dare we? We've ditched the bits we don't like because really it's a bit messy and it doesn't fit into our run sheet. And many of us are of British origin. It's really just not our cup of tea. It's not cricket. And our favorite scripture is let everything be done decently and in order. But I believe God is restoring a revelation of the spiritual authority that we have back to his people, the church. And we're going to see the whole ministry of Jesus come back into play. Oh yeah, get ready. Healings, breaking demonic powers in people's lives. Are you ready for that?